So today is Tuesday, 22nd June, 2021. We will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 272. As usual, we will do the half an hour of awareness-based meditation, wheel of the light, then you can start your meditation. So just remember the four support, relax, maintain awareness, then maintain the awareness for as long as you can. So the second support is just aware, silent everything, don't do anything, don't think, don't try to know, just relax, maintain awareness and silence. Then stabilize that silence within to realize the true mind. Then when you can stabilize that, use that true mind to meditate, to develop the understanding. You can experience the silence within for a longer period to stabilize the awareness nature. The awareness nature must be very stable in order for you to be good at using it. Then only the meditation can really take off. So awareness-based meditation is to train the mind to be peaceful, silent, and just aware within and stabilize the awareness. Don't have to do anything else. The last support is, of course, trust. When your awareness can be stabilized already, then you just stay there at the heart area. Trust that nature to do whatever arise, let it arise. Do not resist. Just maintain awareness. We have a physical body and a mind, consciousness trapped inside. So whatever that arises within the sense basis, we will understand. So all of the activity, the mental movement, the reaction of mind that arises from our formal mind, if you are mindful, aware and silent within, you will know what is going on. So to be in the meditative state is to be in the state of awareness, awake, attentive, not lost in thought, not sleepy. So understanding this can allow you to develop the meditation. So again, I repeat then, you can proceed with your meditation, the four support. Relax, aware, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then finally, trust that nature to do without interference from the thought. Okay. In this world, many of the disasters caused by the imbalance of the four elements can be traced back to people's greed. For example, excessive use of groundwater and overlogging has ruined the forest and hills' ability to retain water. Building dams allow every household to have tap water, but when there is no rain for a period of time, the reservoir will dry up and we still face water shortage. On the other hand, when there is too much rain, the dam may release water, causing flooding downstream and endangering people's lives. In the old days, most people only utilized surface water, such as streams or rivers. When water resources were carefully managed, sources of groundwater remained plentiful and forests grew lush, ensuring good water and soil conservation. Therefore, even though people only use surface water, there was enough to irrigate the land for growing crops to meet people's need. So this is the author's viewpoint. But if you understand the weather and engineering, it's actually more complex than that, because nature itself, weather itself, changes dependent on condition. Of course, there are much truth in whatever that happened is because of humanity's overuse of resources and causing a lot of pollution, a lot of erosion, man-made activity. But we need to understand we are a society. We have various fields of learning, especially engineering. And also we have science, geography, everything. So we need to apply such understanding to manage our resources. That's why the engineers are involved in the engineering aspect. They have to manage the water resources. So even though it's true that in the olden days, we only use nature's surface runoff and we gather water from rivers, lakes, and all this water resource area, that's also the reason why civilization always occur, the ancient civilization, around big rivers. That's why we have the Indus civilization, the Ganges civilization. These are all major rivers. Then in China, we have the Yellow River, then the Great Yangtze River. Then we have the Mekong River over Asia. Then also in the United States, we have many Mississippi and a lot. Then we have a lot of lakes. But without engineering understanding to manage all these resources, it's not easy. So when engineers build dams, they plan. Because as a civil engineer, I understand. There are what we call catchment area that can catch water. Then the problem is, as we develop, as we become more and more materialistic, and our direction of development has shifted from basic housing to tall buildings. Then we have a lot of cities that are mainly concrete structures. Some are steel structures, some are even paved surface. Then our drains has become monsoon drain, concrete drain. So the surface runoff now is very fast. It's no longer like before. Most of our land area are covered with ground, earth surface. So during heavy rain, most of the water, they will go underground first before they reach the river. But because of urbanization, development, all this surface runoff got not much chance to go and get themselves seep into the underground, or what we call groundwater. It's a lot less. Most of them went direct into the concrete drain, man-made surface drain, until they reach the river and downstream very fast. That's why it caused flooding, localized flooding. And engineers has to design dams and various mitigation measures. Sometimes they also need to excavate big area to retain water. you call it the water retention lake and all those things, so that during heavy rain, before the dams are there to manage all this, we need to have our own irrigation, our own water retention and all those things. So for different terrain, it require different irrigation scheme. Some the land are very flat, like our Kedah Plain and many other plains. Kedah is my hometown, my state. The land are 6 inches below sea level, generally. That's why we need to have the drainage and irrigation department. And Kedah itself has its own local authority called MUDA. MUDA is a state-owned, like a mini DID, drainage and irrigation department. They actually take care of the irrigation need of the paddy farmers, the MUDA area. We call it the MUDA Agricultural Development Authority, or MADA. MADA. So MADA is in charge of MUDA Area Agriculture Development Authority. So we had engineers to design all those. Then of course, for MUDA is easier. We don't have much development. They are mainly agricultural, mainly paddy. So it was very interesting. I was there in my first few months when I graduated. I came out and worked for MUDA, MADA, for about 6 months, I think, before I decided to quit and join another organization. I came down for my convocation in June. Then 2 months later, I gave notice and joined JKL in KL. I was in waterworks, Selangor waterworks. That's why I was involved in irrigation project. My thesis was also irrigation project. And I know about major infra civil engineering projects regarding water resource, water management and all those things. So what has been mentioned is just a small picture of what the author know. But when it comes to true water management, dam management, we really need understanding. But of course, I cannot deny the mistake that earlier engineers or engineering project make, because the mitigation, what they call, there is this report, Environmental Impact Study, or EIA, Environmental Impact Analysis. So we need to study the impact on environment of a major engineering project. Then we have to come up with mitigation measure. Then when we want to really dam up the dam, a lot of life form will be disrupted, a lot of plants, forests, and even the vegetation, they will be affected. Then all the animals or whatever living, insects and other things, even the reptiles, we need to actually relocate them and make sure all these are taken care of before we really inundate the area and impound the dam. We call impounding means we allow the water to be impounded so that it doesn't flow downstream. That's why we need a dam at a restricted area to actually build up the dam levels. So during that time, all these trees and all this thing, they will die. They will die. That's why it takes a long while to dispose of all this, the dead tree trunks and all this thing. There is a buoyancy thing and many of these mitigation measures. So when it comes to man and the environment, or man and nature, we need engineering solution to many things, and we need to have a lot of understanding before we can really mitigate all this to really develop projects that are truly beneficial to humanity and mankind that cause the least disruption. So we are slowly but steadily moving in that direction. But the other aspect is pollution when it comes to industry, or that one is more difficult to control. When it comes to automobiles, industry, or the factories and all those things, then the amount of pollution they release, chemicals and all those things, even modern day farming, pesticides and all those things. So these are the more complicated added problems that humanity need to really, really surmount or overcome. Then we really need good engineers, good managers. Then nowadays with innovation, I think it will help. Innovation can really help in many aspects of engineering. And also progress of society. But the more interesting thing is Dhamma. I look at Dhamma as something very unique, very beautiful. That's why with Dhamma understanding, humanity can actually develop a lot of understanding and improve on their life. And because Dhamma is very unique, it's applicable to all spectrum of human life. Life itself encompasses all of reality, all of truth. And that's where Dhamma come into play. So if we have the Dhamma, it can help transform humanity, civilization, help the world in many ways, even human life. Nowadays, with the advance of science, AI, everything, the modern civilization, where we have a lot of fast moving things happening. Younger generation and those within the career field and workforce, because of the pace of things that are happening, I think they develop a lot of mental problem, mental stress. They are under tremendous stress, pressure. And their brain, they have to overwork them or move in a very fast pace. But if you lack awareness, mindfulness, the Dhamma, then you cannot cope. That's why all this human problem, or what we call mental problem, or society's problem, we got funny people doing funny things, all the conflict, misunderstanding, division, racial things, political difference, ideology difference, they have brought about a lot of what we call major problems and conflicts to societies and our planet. So without Dhamma, I think it's not easy. Because Dhamma basically is to let us understand life. Through this understanding, we know how to live life. Then we know how to transform ourselves, improve ourselves for the betterment of everyone. When we have the Dhamma, we are a blessing to all. We are a blessing to our own form and mind too. Then the way we do things will be different. That's why this is the missing link, missing solution that humanity needs to have. Once Dhamma come in, the greed, the selfishness, the violence, everything will subside. Then the delusion will be no more. Then there will be less suffering, less affliction, less problem for humanity. So this is how I visualize the world. The future ideal world will be the one that has the Dhamma with it, that has the understanding of life. So this part is more important, rather than blaming nature and blaming weather and blaming everything that human does. Okay, we go back to the note, the sharing, so that we can continue. So in addition to water problem, the average global temperature is climbing higher and higher. This is talking about global warming. During summer, when we enter a room full of people, we can feel the body heat radiating from everyone. The more people there are, the higher the temperature. Think about how many people are there on this planet. Currently, people continue to consume more and more of nature's resources, natural resources, like petroleum, water, etc., and cause more and more industrial pollution. This is very worrisome. This is what I explained just now. The industrial pollution are the worst. That one very difficult to mitigate. Whereas the normal housing and other things are more easy, more manageable. So the author said this is really worrisome. But we have to evolve. Society has to evolve. That's why humanity has to learn. Presently, it's not easy to promote energy conservation and environmental protection because people in our society have already become accustomed to a luxurious lifestyle. Without our realizing it, our desire has become more and more difficult to control. However, if our action caused such an imbalance in the four elements, that the earth will no longer be able to sustain life, we will also not be able to survive. Therefore, we all have to do our best to spread this message. I always share with people, man and nature is one. We are one. We have to coexist because we are part of nature. If we destroy nature, if we pollute nature, then we will be destroyed by nature. It's very, very clear-cut and easy to understand. You are not a part. You are not no different because as the individual, the summation of all the consciousness that live in this planet actually determine the life of this planet, how the global consciousness move affects the planet. If there are more and more people with the Dhamma, with a good mind, with the understanding, with the wisdom, then our planet will survive, will become very beautiful. Then humanity will have the what we call to golden age. Then we will have a civilization that is very different, free of all the conflict and misunderstanding. Then there's a lot of harmony, a lot of understanding, a lot of love, a lot of compassion. Then we live as a planet. We manage resources, we overcome problems. We resolve issue and problem together for the good of the many to improve our planet's environment, to improve all of our human needs. So all aspects of life can be actually taken care of when we have the Dhamma. Because as human, we are a unique race. We have that type of intellectual and understanding that can actually create a very beautiful civilization. Okay, I'll read on that and hopefully we can develop more understanding. A current of pure water can cleanse all defilement from the world. This is true. Whether the water is from rain, a spring, or a stream, or a river, or a well, as long as it is clean water, it can be used not only to nurture and sustain the life of sentient beings on earth, but also to wash away all defilements. Currently, the world is filled with defilements, like a pool of polluted water. This is caused by the increasing severe karmic or karma created by sentient beings. We need to use a stream of purity to wash away this karma and bring balance and harmony to everyone's heart. This is how we can guide sentient beings towards the right path. Thus, the Dhamma is like water. If we can help people out of pure and undefiled great love and bring purity to human heart or people's heart, then naturally, all defilement can be cleaned from the world. Therefore, we must allow Dhamma water to flow into our hearts so that we can reduce our desire, which are causing damage to the world. If we can help maintain the balance of the four elements, naturally, there will be fewer disasters in the world. So the author also finally realized you need Dhamma to be in the heart of sentient beings for this world to turn, to improve itself, to transform itself for the better. So finally, it's still Dhamma. So according to the author, this Dhamma is like pure water. So when you have Dhamma water, it's pure water. When you have them, it can clean up all defilements. Then the human heart will be virtuous, will be without the evils, without negativity. Then humanity will be beautiful. Then our civilization will definitely become very, very beautiful and wonderful. So Dhamma is very important. Okay, we will read on and maybe continue with the next adapted verse. Just give me a minute, I need to drink. Okay, we shall continue. With Buddha's eyes, he observed that he could not expound all Dhamma at once because the natures and desire of sentient beings are varied. This is very true. As water adapts to its container, its name and appearances may be different, but its nature is always the same. There is no difference in its ability to wash away dust and defilement. You go to the notes. There's a note 38. Footnote 38. See Venerable Master Zi Yi's a brief summary of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. With his unique Buddha eye, the Buddha observed that not all Dhamma could be expounded because the profound and unsurpassed Buddha Dhamma is so deep and it is inconceivable. If taught, it would be difficult for sentient beings to believe it. The natures and desires of sentient beings are varied, and their capacity may be dull or sharp. Well, the Buddha Dhamma is very profound. Thus, it could not be taught directly. Therefore, he expounded various kinds of teachings in accordance to sentient beings' nature and desire. What he had taught in the past was only skillful means. He had not directly revealed the true teaching. Thus, it is said that for 40 years, he did not reveal the three true Dhamma. The Buddha told great magnificent bodhisattvas, "Good men, just like water, the Dhamma can wash away defilement, whether from a well, pond, stream, river, or the great ocean. Water can wash away defilements. The Dhamma water is the same. The humans and heavenly beings' vehicle, the Sarava, Savaka, particular Buddha vehicles and the great vehicle can all wash away sentient beings' affliction and defilement. Okay, we go back to the sharing. That is the final. With his wisdom, the Buddha observed all phenomena in the world and knew that it would be difficult to explain everything at once. Take the sky as an example. Though it is the same sky, sometimes it's covered by dark clouds, while other times it is clear and bright. Today the sky is blue and clear, and you can hear insects buzzing and birds chirping. Yesterday we only heard the sound of rain falling from the sky covered in clouds. Although we are in the same place, the atmosphere is completely different. Even the way we refer to things changes along with the external condition. As time passes, we use different labels like today and tomorrow. Although we live ordinary routine life, the environment we live in is constantly changing. The condition of yesterday and today are different. It cannot be a rainy day and a clear day at the same time. Yet regardless of the external conditions it manifests, the nature of sky is never truly obstructed. Likewise, it is impossible to expound all Dhamma at once, so each piece must be analyzed separately. This is how we approach the true Dhamma. The Sutra of Infinite Meaning states, with mind tranquil and clear, and vow as vast as the universe. And this is the Bodhisattva mind. This tells us that we must observe our own nature to realize that the intrinsic state of our true mind is tranquil and clear, neither arising nor ceasing, with no distinction between past, present, and future. It is only because we lack the perseverance of having vows as vast as the universe, remaining unwavering for countless eons, that our minds are constantly focused outwardly and constantly losing sight of our own true nature, our true mind. Whenever we connect with external conditions, means we lack awareness. Thus, even when we form great aspirations and make great vows, they disappear quickly. So these are beings that has not trained themselves well enough. If you had trained yourself well enough, you will be more and more mindful, leading to stability of it, and finally heedful all the while, all the way. And when you are heedful, you can realize your true mind, your true nature. Then you can have that type of mind that is always tranquil, still, with clarity. Okay, we read on. The nature and desire of sentient beings are varied. So the Buddha had to give many different teachings to guide us to understand our situation. For example, the Lotus Sutta has a parable about a burning house. A large group of ignorant child are playing inside the burning house, completely unaware of the danger closing in on them. They are reluctant to leave. The distressed father has no choice but to place all kinds of desirable toys outside the door to tempt the children to come out. Come, come, here is the sheep cart, deer cart, and ox cart. Come and pick the toy you like the most. Attracted by the toys, the children rush outside and thus their lives are saved. This is the analogy for the Buddha, by the Buddha, who taught according to sentient beings' like and desire, using skillful means of wisdom to help them escape their dangerous condition. So this burning house analogy was actually in the Lotus Sutta. The Buddha also used water as a metaphor. The intrinsic nature of sentient beings is like that of water. Whether it's rain water, spring water, or water from the stream, river, or well, its nature is the same. Though the names and appearance of water may differ, it can still wash away defilement. However, sentient beings have allowed their nature to become mixed with impetus, or sorry, with impurities. This is just like when there is a flood. Wherever we look, there is nothing but water. Yet we have no clean water to drink. In addition, the turbid, dirty water will ruin the land and destroy people's home. Though they are both water, there is a difference between clean and muddy water in that they have completely different effect on environment and humanity. However, if we allow muddy water to sit for a period of time, the impurity will sink down and the water at the top can recover to its original purity. In the olden days, before people had that water, they would scoop water from roadside or a dish into a water jar and add some alum to make the impurities settle to the bottom. The next day, the water could be used to cook rice, wash vegetable, etc. Thus, as long as there are conditions for the muddy water to settle and become clear, it can return to its original purity of pure nature. So in order to adopt or adapt to sentient beings' varying capacity, nature and karma and environment, the Dhamma must be like water. As water adapts to its container, its name and appearances may be different, but its nature is always the same. There is no difference in its ability to wash away dust and defilement. Defile muddy water is no different from pure drinking water. As long as it can restore to its original pure nature, it can also wash away dust and defilement. So this is using the water analogy. But in the early days, I remember I like to actually flick through this comic books on Zen saying. This particular comic book was very good. They draw this wave. So this wave, when they come, especially if it's an ocean wave, they sometimes can be very strong and the waves are very big. So what happened is, through the Zen analogy, whenever this big wave come, the small wave, they will complain. They say, actually the small wave will happily playing around when the wave are small, not violent. But when the big wave come, they all get swept away. And they are like, cannot survive there and swept further and higher. Then, in the Zen comic book, they depict it as these are the individuals, small wave or small water portion, bodies of water. So they will complain. Then suddenly one enlightened being or enlightened wave, they say, why must you separate between small wave and big wave? We are water. Our nature is the same. Then when they realize this, they put away or set aside all the differences and the division, and they enjoy because basically they are water. Who divide the wave into big and small wave is the human mind or the mundane mind that divides. So like humanity, through races we divide, through nationality we divide, Then sometimes through gender, we also divine. Then sometimes through our what we call the religious belief or religious label, we also divine. So division created by thought is very, very detrimental, very divisive, and can bring about a lot of conflict and misunderstanding. That's how we have war, conflict, racial disharmony. And right now what is happening in most countries, even the United States, they have this racist type of mentality that created a lot of disharmony, violence. Now they also have this gun violence problem. People just go to the street and shoot in the name of many things, religion, race, supremacy, and all those things. So unless we have the Dhamma, we cannot need this at the bat, and we cannot really educate humanity and let them understand. So all these have also been made use of by politicians and also leaders who wants to govern, control, and influence. And all this come about through selfishness, through delusion, not knowing that all this has karmic consequence behind. So the more humanity get themselves entangled in all this, the more misery, suffering, and conflict there will be. Then it will trigger off more and more problems. Especially we can witness now the pandemic, COVID-19, and all these things. All these are the result of human activity, the karmic emotion or karmic evils of the mind that has conditioned all this. So these are the means nature used to wipe off all those human beings that has the evil roots that are not supposed to survive. This is what we call nature's way of dealing with things. Sometimes it can happen through war. Sometimes it can happen through tsunami. Sometimes it can also happen through COVID-19 pandemic or any type of pandemic. So we have witnessed a lot of all this. So it looks like once a while the planet need to wipe off a major portion of the population that is very negative in their mind state and mentality. So you look at all the World War I and World War II, tremendous amount of destruction, suffering, and misery, so much death, a lot of people died, victims. Then the pandemic or epidemic, also a lot, like in the early days, the ancient day, the plague that killed so many, the Spanish flu and many others, even SARS, COVID-19. COVID-19 by far is the most severe thus far. But we had to go through all this to learn to survive. Not until humanity developed the wisdom and the understanding, we will never change. So hopefully all these are conditions for the human race to move on, to develop more and more understanding so that we will mitigate many things. So now the world has more awareness of the danger of global warming, climatic changes, environmental pollution, and all those things. So they are trying to do something, but a lot are still based on the leaders of certain powerful nations. If they don't have the will, all these are just talk only, no tangible action. They call it NATO. No action, but talk only. So that is the abbreviation for that grouping. So hopefully it will change for the better. Okay, we continue back with the notes, the sharing. Okay. The Dhamma teaches us that whether we create good or evil karma depends entirely on our mind. Very true. That's why the Buddha said our mind is the foreign of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. So if we turn towards goodness, this is the Dhamma way, and understand how to use the Dhamma water to nurture our wisdom life, we can purify our own mind and the mind of others. If we turn towards evil, we will bring about imbalance and many disasters. That's why when you turn means you put your attention on things that are fit for attention under the Sabba Asabak Sutta, the Buddha say, you give attention, then the wholesome mind state without defilement, they will arise. Then whatever unwholesome mind state that are there before will cease to be. But if you attend to things that are unfit for attention, then the unarisen defilement, they will arise. Then the reason one, they will become more and more strong, more and more intense. So this is why we have to have the Dhamma, to have the right view, to have the right attention. When we attend to things which are virtuous, wise, following the Dhamma way, then we become beautiful. That's why I hear the author also saying, he said the same thing. Therefore, she said, we need to use Dhamma water to nourish the love in everyone's heart and teach them to cleanse their own mind through repentance. Means attend to the Four Noble Truths, the three turning, following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good and purify ourselves. Then be a blessing to all. So in this way, we can heal people's heart with the Dhamma. Only by turning away from evil towards goodness can we eliminate evil karma and create blessed destiny or good karma. So all this need Dhamma understanding. Without Dhamma understanding, we cannot achieve all this. Maybe I will read the title of the next adapted verse so that we can develop understanding of what is the next topic that we are going to discuss or go through. Okay, the next adapted verse is, the Dhamma is like water which can wash away defilement. So this one, they have actually said this before. Whether water comes from well, a pond or stream, a river or a brook, or a channel or a great ocean, it can cleanse. The Dhamma water that washes away defilement is also like this. Though varying in appearances, the nature of water is the same. So too is the nature of the Dhamma. Though the appearance of water differ, all water can still cleanse. Similarly, Dhamma water can wash away affliction and habitual tendency. Thus, the Buddha turned the Dhamma wheel of the Four Noble Truths and taught that all things have always been empty and still. So this adapted verse is quite good. So maybe we will leave it at that. Okay, I will share a little bit more on the Dhamma, because if you look at the Dhamma itself, it's actually something that is very useful for planet, for humanity, for living beings. Without Dhamma, actually human beings suffer a lot. And the beauty of Dhamma is Dhamma can cater for all type of characters and personality. All human beings of all ages and stages. With Dhamma, there will be good understanding and wisdom develop. Without this Dhamma, we cannot understand life. We cannot understand who we are, when we are. And because of that, we create negativity of karma, leading to all the conflict, misunderstanding, and suffering and affliction. That's why we have to turn from what we call evil towards goodness or wholesomeness and virtue. And this is Dhamma. Without Dhamma, you don't understand why you have to avoid evil, why you have to cultivate wholesomeness, virtue, in order to become beautiful, in order to improve ourselves, to transform our own character and personality, so that we can have the good life. So that when we follow the advice of the Buddha, we move up the ladder of cultivation, then we will develop good karmic nature that will condition our good life. And all these are Dhamma way. And Dhamma way is the best. The Dhamma way is a way of wholesomeness, goodness, free of evil, free of negativity. You are incapable of evil. So with Dhamma, the world can be a better world. Civilization can be a better civilization. Then humanity of all ages, races, and even character, no matter how different we may be, but with Dhamma, we can improve ourselves. We can develop understanding of life, understanding of what this form of mind is, who are we, what are we, and what the true nature within is, which is always tranquil, still, and beautiful. Then it can allow you to develop wisdom through seeing things as they are, not through all the agitated thought process, mundane seeing or mundane activity. Then without the evil roots, the Dhamma actually can purify, can bring about understanding to straighten our view. Then we will have good life, free of all so-called human conflicts, human suffering, afflictions. Just nowadays, human suffering is very real. You look at humanity of all ages, oh, character. Young people also have problems. Child growing up also have problems. Student also have problems. Adult also have problems. Getting old. The elderly also have problems. Then when they come out to work with the career life, also a lot of problems, a lot of stress and all these things. So all this need Dhamma solution to actually overcome them, to bring about understanding, to bring about happiness, joy, freedom from suffering or affliction. And the only way is through Dhamma way. And Dhamma way is the wisdom way. When you act according to wisdom, your mind gets liberated and free. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. Because our memory is full of our views, opinion, belief system, and conditionings. And this one is full of rubbish inside. Our selfishness, our phobia, our emotional negativity, our habitual tendencies, our insecurity, our scars of memory, they are all in our memories. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. Without wisdom, without Dhamma, you cannot act. You will have delusion then the evil would take over. It will surface and completely overwhelm humanity's mind. And because of that, suffering is the result. Conflict, misunderstanding, all this lead to a more and more afflicted world. So without Dhamma, humanity really suffer, really have a lot of misery. So hopefully, when human beings understand the importance of having this teaching, the Dhamma, which is basically true, nature's true, to understand clearly the environment we live in, what is nature, man and nature, they must harmonize. And existence or life is governed by a set of nature's law. Nature's law that governs life and existence need to be understood. And basically there is Dhamma. The Dhamma is truth. Truth is whatever that can explain the way things are. And the way things are the reality. The nature's law, they are the one that governs the way things are. They govern all of life and existence. So nature's law, according to Lord Buddha, there are five. The first two are scientific law, Uttuniyama, the physical law of nature, and Bijaniyama, biological order of nature. These two are most powerful physical law, and the scientists are very good at it. That's why they progress very far, fast, over the last few decades. And civilization has evolved and become so much more developed. But with it comes the effect. There's the overemphasis on technology, science, on the physical law, actually create a vacuum, because you need spiritual understanding. You need Dhamma. So the other three, universal order that governs life and existence, are the spiritual law. The Buddha called it the law of karma, karma niyama, and the law of mind, citta niyama, and the law of truth, dhamma niyama. That's why the essential dhamma are the dhamma niyamas. And the Buddha, like the scientist, he is foremost in the understanding of these three spiritual law. That's why he is very wise. And he really has profound wisdom and understanding of this three law. That's why he perfected himself over a long period of cultivation to become Sammasambuddha, to realize this great teaching. So similarly, if the scientists can progress because they know this scientific law and they have a lot of breakthrough. So similarly, in the spiritual sense, the Buddha also reach the perfection of it, the pinnacle of it. That's why, as far as spiritual law is concerned, all this law of karma, law of mind, law of truth, he is very good. He has perfected them. That's why he can understand them. And he can solve our human problem, the mental problem, life problem. So all of life problem can be resolved through the Dhamma. So the Dhamma way is the way of truth, the way of understanding, wisdom, the wisdom way. So this is what I want to share, basically to let you see the importance of Dhamma. Because without Dhamma, your life is doomed. Humanity is doomed. That's why we need Dhamma to transform, to bring about transformation and evolution. That's why I like the way Krishnamurti described it. The individual must change for the totality to change. So we need Dhamma. If all individuals can slowly, slowly understand this teaching, then the change is possible. What you need is maybe a few percent of the human population. You don't have to have like herd immunity or 80%, don't need. Actually, 3 or 4% is more than enough. The problem is now we have less than 0.00001%. And that figure is not easy to build up. It's not like vaccine. You can open up all the mega center and get people vaccinated. Dhamma cannot be given, like the Buddha say. He cannot make you enlightened. He cannot give you wisdom. If he can, he will be more than compassionate to do it. Because this Dhamma is to be realized by the individual, each for themselves. That's the uniqueness of the Dhamma. So because of that, we need to have the understanding. Dhamma need to be realized by the wise each for themselves. That's why this teaching is very beautiful. So hopefully, when more and more people understand the individual change, it will reach that critical mass, 3 to 4% and all. Even 1, 2% really very powerful. Yeah. But 3 to 4% I think is like what they call herd immunity. Yeah, this 3 to 4% can really change the world. Their energy, their nature, they can transform many things. They can give rise to many things. And then the wrong view all will be gone. Okay, we will end here. Then we open up for the second session. It is Dhamma reporting or Q&A.
Meditation, I find I am better when it is daily meditation, or daily life meditation, rather than sitting down.
Yeah, that is better. So you continue with your meditative training in the daily life to stabilize your daily mindfulness. You can do that. It will be very good. Then after you stabilize this, and especially you can stabilize your sati mindfulness, your spiritual faculty will help you. The next time you sit or do the formal meditation, you will be very surprised. It becomes so easy. The moment you sit or relax and lie down, your mind go into stillness or silence. Because if in the midst of life, in the midst of daily life, you can be mindful throughout the day continuously, then sitting is no problem. People's problem is because they don't have the stability of daily mindfulness. That's why they cannot sit. And some can sit, but they cannot reach that stability of mind entering sati. When their mind cannot enter sati, they cannot do the daily mindfulness. So it's a chicken and egg story. For you, you find it easier to do the daily mindfulness, you should continue and stabilize it. Combine it with your daily religious routine. If you do it every day, the daily religious routine, then in between, develop the daily mindfulness, determined to be aware, the daily mindfulness will come. Then you will progress. You will become very different. Okay, now you can share with us.
Actually, when I look back, like last year when MCO started, I already at first I started by doing bowing.
Ah, very good.
Yeah. Then after a few months, actually how I started bowing was because it started with I went for this qigong class. Yeah, and in this qigong class, right, there is one sensei la. So she provide like free consultation after class. Yeah. So when she checked my pulse, right, she said that inside me very negative. Yeah. She said, am I feeling depressed? I told her I don't feel depressed at all. And then she said, are you sure there must be something? I said, no. But then after she said already, I try to be more mindful.
And
because
you should be able to see it.
What she said is true. Yeah, because in the early days, your mind state is you are like very unhappy inside. We have a lot of things, especially career and also life. You saw that there is no harmony, a lot of problem everywhere, and you cannot come to terms with those reality. And because of that, actually, you unknowingly go into a little bit of depressive mind state. But with mindfulness, you can see, you can be aware. That's why I said, whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, the evil roots are there. You are not training your mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be peaceful. So all these are very important understanding. So did you manage to find out when you check with mindfulness?
She taught me about steps. And after when she was doing, she found out that I was a Buddhist. So she said, because she's a Buddhist also. Then she said, okay, I teach you another one even better. She said, do bowing, like what Brother Theo say lah.
Did he advise you to do repentance?
Yes, she did.
Ask for forgiveness. Yeah, that was very important.
Yeah, but actually I did that already, I mean years before she told me lah. Like after that, I stopped. She tell me, you know, why don't you do it? Because I also have thyroid problem. I will try it out lah. So for the, I think I did for like 3 months, a few months lah. But it was like very robotic. Then she said, when you bow, you must sincerely say, repent, like Brother Theo say.
Mindful. Must be mindful, so aware. Body and mind move as one, aware.
I don't think I had that mindfulness during that
time. You don't have to look for it. It will come. When you do it until it become a part of you, then one day you suddenly realize, hey, body and mind move as one when you have no thought. You just do. Don't try to know. Just do. Do until body and mind move as one. The sati, when it come, even you yourself will not know until the sati is there. Then you realize, hey, how come like that? Then you realize, everything is different now. That's how you just do. Don't try to know. You continue. Then after that, what happened?
So after I edit for a few months already, I realized that I understand the Dhamma. Whenever you talk about Dhamma,
easier for you to understand. This is very useful because the bowing actually serve a lot of benefits we have gone through before. That if you do it mindfully, you are more aware. Then it is an act of reverential salutation to cultivate humility. And when you ask for forgiveness, it breaks your coming obstruction. So that one very important. Then you exercise your body. Because you do the bowing, then you become more calm, more composed. Then you cultivate mindfulness. You develop mindfulness through the active Kaya Nupassana mode. That's why the four posture can train you. Then there is also what we call the other benefit is it is one of the 10 meritorious actions. Then you can invoke power of merits for you to actually bring about causes and conditions for other things to arise. So all these are very useful, beneficial Dhamma training. So The other thing that I want to let you know is you better consult Dr. Jayanta regarding your thyroid. If you have thyroid, he is good. He can actually help people.
I went to see doctor. So they say my hormone levels are all normal. It's just cosmetic.
Mayan, you listen. Dr. Jayanta is very good at this because he helped my daughter. He also got thyroid last time, diagnosed a few years back. The doctor said could be a problem or what. Hyperthyroid. Then later on, Jayanta talked to her and gave her the hemopathic pill. Don't take hormone pill. He just take the hemopathy, that natural ingredient. Then without my daughter knowing it, it normalized. Then when she went back to do the test, the doctor was surprised. You see, your problem gone. You better see Dr. Jayanta.
Okay. But now cannot lah. I mean, it's MC.
Of course lah. You have to wait till the thing settle down. But it's good to consult him. He is good. Dr. Jayanta is good. His chemotherapy therapy is good.
Okay. Thank you.
Then you have anything else to continue?
So I did bowing at that time. Like I say, it was quite robotic. I mean, I know what Brother T always advise, you know, body and mind as one. I don't feel that I was doing it correctly. But anyway,
Don't worry, it will come later. I don't try to know. Just do. Don't try to know. Until you become very skillful, very graceful. And then one day, suddenly when you are in that mind state, when your body and mind is one, without thought, you will know one. It become like, how come like that one? It's like when you become very graceful, very skillful. Everything is like body and mind move as one. Every action, every movement, together with your awareness, they move as one. That is what sati is. So just do, don't worry. But based on what you report, it's already very good. Because after that, you can understand the Dhamma easily. That is a good sign. That is a sign of a mind that has developed some extent of clarity, composure, awareness, even though not very stable. But it's a good sign.
After that 3 months, I kind of like stopped bowing, and then I switched, you know, to chanting the compassionate mantra. I chant the Chinese version, I chant every night. I also don't know where I got that seminar to do. Every night I chant 7 times for a few months
very
also.
Good.
Yeah. That one is to create affinity Kuan Yin.
I find like it, I mean, the progress is gradual, not like today I do, tomorrow can see that. But I could find
definitely
that
you need to do over a period of time. All this needs patience, diligence, sincerity, perseverance. That's why you just do. Don't try to know. Be sincere.
I think I have that sincerity. Like in the beginning, it was not like it was quite robotic. But later on, I could feel there was some sincerity. And then when I opened my computer, because I work from home. When the whatever the thing that make me unhappy, when it arises straight away, I can see, you know.
You are more mindful already. You are more aware of your emotion. When you are able to be aware, then you can bring about changes. Means through the awareness, you can develop the right effort to abandon it first. Then later on, when your wisdom surface through either contemplative second turning wisdom or the direct seeing or whatever, or mainly contemplative, inquiry, reflection, and all that. Then when that one stabilizes, it becomes yoniso manasikara. It becomes the initial wisdom. And when the initial wisdom is there, your second right effort will become possible. The moment you see it like want to arise, you can arise that understanding to prevent it from arising. That is the second right effort. The first one is arise already, you can see, let it arise. Then do the third and fourth way to overcome it or reverse it. Then after that, use the fourth way to trace the origination factor to develop the wisdom for you to understand all this. Yeah. So now is a good time for you to do all this, the four right effort, starting with the first two, going to the third and the fourth. Very good, Sato. You continue, yes.
Yeah, the past few weeks when Brother Teo talked about our duties, and then, you know, the brown booklet on the essential Dharma of the Buddha, Lord Buddha.
Yes, yes.
Actually, last time, I even remember we went to Eastern and C's house when we talked about that. When I listen the time, it's not that I don't understand, but it's just to me that time when I listen, it's like, very normal.
It doesn't impact on you. You are not ready. You cannot understand. You cannot receive it. That's why I say all this need timing. You need to put in your own training, cultivation. Then when you are ready, the Dhamma will appear. Then you will start to understand. Like now you appreciate. But last time you realize you can't even song Brother Jin Hao and many Kayamita. In the early days, all like Mong Cha Cha Wan, even Po Cheng also same. They don't know what is going on. But when they start to do the religious routine, the bowing, then the lying down or the sitting, then when they stabilize their sati, when they connect and realize their true mind, when they do enough contemplation and reflection, then they realize suddenly they become different, like what you are going through. You are going through is very good, very gradual. But steady. So you will know. That's why the Dhamma is pachetang. Can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. As you start to experience all this, means you are on the right path. And of course, there is a lot more to be developed. But it will come as long as you have sincerity, which you say you have, which is very good, then persevere. The faith will drive you. When you are sincere, the faith will drive you and you will move, because you only need to persevere, continue to, with the faith, cultivate. That's why Saddha bring about Virya. And Virya bring about Sati. So now it's happening. Very good. Continue.
Then after a period, I also don't know, maybe I get lazy. I stop doing the chanting, but I change to another. Like Brother Dio said, I seek for forgiveness. This time when I do it, seeking, it wasn't like robotic anymore. It was, I like follow the card that you have, the Buddhist
card. Yeah, the yellow card. Very important.
So there was one morning I remember. Maybe I don't do word for word, but I remember what is in the card.
Important. Yeah. Means you have developed the ability to remember them. Means it has slowly come in. So initially, it's like you have to refer to the card every time because not stable yet. You haven't developed the understanding yet. Then just now you mentioned robotic is actually, we call it parroting. Parroting is, you are parroting. You are not really doing. But now you see the difference. It's no longer robotic. Whereas with the yellow card now, instead of like last time, I had to read word for word. Now you understand that you can recite it out. Then later on, without the card, also you can recite and understand and all the, do all these things like some of the kriyamta, then you become very different. Then you will progress, you will transform, you will become beautiful. Sadhu to you. Eh? So slowly, steadily. Eh? So you are getting it right. Eh? My nature rejoices.
Thank you, Radio. The one about duties was very helpful because over the years, I am not sure how I change when I'm doing my duties as in household.
That one help. is very important. You know why or not?
Yeah.
Helping your parent. That one, the merit, the parami is very high. Serving your parent, doing your duty, taking care of household. I did a lot when I was young. My whole house, my family, I got 9 brothers and sisters. I was the main one, my father know, and my mother also know. Every morning, I wake up early, then I have to open up the shop, clean the whole place for whatever dust, then I sweep the floor, everything. Then I help my father to sell medicine and all those things, although I'm English educated, but I help out a lot. Then I help my mother, fold blanket, everything, clean up the whatever, the room, and sometimes participate in all the chopping of firewood, sawing of firewood, and stack them. Then sometimes my mother asked me to help out in the kitchen. I do a lot of all those things. And wherever there is a need for me to participate or help, I realize by doing all this, my nature become very different. By fulfilling your duty, you like very lucky. Your luck, like actually nothing to do with luck, it's your good karma. Then later on, it showed it to me when I try to steal from my mother's angbao the 2 ringgit or the 3 ringgit. Wow, I saw the thing, I kena upside down. That karmic thing showed it to me. Cannot, because that was the only year I lost all my angbao money and whatever. Then the luck was horrible, the card, everything. But apart from that year, every year I did very well. I make a lot of money from 2 ringgit. I can actually make 200-300 ringgit during the Chinese New Year, few days. Through, of course, that time we all, the small town, they play games, card games and all those things. So like you are very lucky and all those things. But when that year, when I, because it's meant to be, to show me, I thought my mother would not know where my father passed the angbao to me. I opened up, I saw 12 ringgit. I said, I take 2, pass 10 ringgit to my mother. She would know. That alone caused me the whole rotten luck to manifest. And really, so until it's like telling you, not worthwhile. And no need to wait until che it, no. Ji kao mei or sacha mei itself, that night I lost everything, including my mother's 2 ringgit and my own 2 ringgit. I never have such rotten luck. So a lot of things is show it to me. So do your housework, do your duty. Very good. Sadhu to you. So what happened after that? You realize it helped you?
Actually, I do housework like relatively very young. I do already. But I don't know suddenly when I change, maybe because of my working life. Later on when I do my the household, it's like I always want to do it fast. It's like I stressful. I want to do it fast. It become like a chore to me already. I wasn't like happy doing it, you know. But then after Brother talk about the duties, I understand. And then that kind of feeling like stressful don't have anymore.
Sadhu. That's why understanding transform you. Because if you take it as a duty, you have a lot of joy. And you can contribute towards your family, towards your parents. And you have a lot of joy. When I help people, I felt very happy. I have a lodger. I like to do all this duty. When I was young, I do a lot. I even help others, neighbors and other things. Mm. Not to say I purposely go and do it, but whenever I see your condition, I will go and help. Then gotong royong, I like to do when I was young. I'm very active in this type of field. Then in school also, when they have all this activity, I will go and help. I will not go and complain and all those things. Why must be me? Why other people don't need to do? I can't. I don't know why my nature is different. And I feel happy when I'm nominated by the teacher to help and to do. There was so much joy. So, and my teacher, all my teacher, funny, they like me because they saw me so sincere, so cute, and very eager to help. I even help my teacher carry books on.
Yeah.
Do the edition for the report card. Then there was one form teacher, lucky best, form six that time. I remember lower six, upper six. He asked me to help him to write all the, there is a school leaving cert on, where we have to collect from the form teacher before you leave the school. He asked me to help him fill it up. So, never mind. He said, wow, Theo, you did very well. He said, do you want to write the comment also? I said, of course. Because these are students, they came to know I write. People were after me. I said, this I cannot. Then luckily, he write it all. I didn't write. And he wrote one. Wow, I tell you, that student was very, very mad. When he received his school leaving cert, you know what he wrote down there, no? He wrote, big mouth talk a lot, no? How can he write such a thing on a school leaving cert? So that student becomes so angry, he complained until the headmaster there. And the headmaster asked him to change. He said, but that was what he was. Well, his character was like that. He has a big mouth, he talk a lot in the class. But you cannot be so naive and so like honest in. Yeah, this is people's school living cert. No, their future is depend on that, especially your first job. So because of that, I think he reluctantly, but he changed for him. Then he come and ask me, is it Theo, are you right? I tired. So I told him, think of the good point. Then he told me, well, he there got good points. So there was a lot of this type of thing going on. Then finally I said, maybe I get for you a few good vocabulary. Yeah? Then you go and think which one is suitable. I said, hardworking, diligent, maybe you can write. Obedient, all these things, maybe you can write. Then finally, I think he wrote something which pleases the student. So finally, it was resolved. So very interesting. That's why you can help and have joy. Must do. This is something very good.
These past 2 days has not been easy for me now because my mother, she had fever after the jab, you know, the second jab.
Okay.
But her fever lasted very long and then she started having cough.
How many days?
Sorry?
How many days already? The jab?
The jab was Monday. Then Thursday she started to have fever. Until now still got fever. Then I can also I also have fever like her. So yesterday I brought her to the hospital.
Okay.
So they check her for dengue. And after that, dengue came out negative. Then only they check for the COVID-19. So there also I have a bit jittery. Then I asked the doctor, I need to check also because I also got fever.
Yeah.
Then the doctor say, no need. Your mother go first. Then we see your mother result.
Okay.
So the result comes out today. So the doctor said that they will not call if let's say it's negative.
Okay.
So far they haven't called up. But then I had this thinking, what if they they forgot. Because my mother still having the fever, you know, and they didn't give her any
medication.
No medication. So I kind of quarantine myself.
Did your mother take any Panadol or what?
Got take also like that.
Oh, still continue to have fever. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have the China one, the medication? The Hamimia?
Oh, I know I don't have, but then
oh, if it's my wife have you want, we can pass it to you.
If it's not COVID, then I take, then it's so
No, it's not COVID, it's to relieve all this fever and whatever one. There is a prevention one. It's not this one boosts up immunity on. Well, I let my wife talk to you.
Okay. Thank you.
We are more familiar. No, come here.
Hello, my name
is still hello.
It's something like flu like that. They want for the flu and then it boosts up your immunity.
The blue box is it? I saw.
No, the box one. It's the powder
for COVID. This one is precaution.
Yes, flu and boost up your immunity.
Yeah.
Oh. Like fever, cough. If you want, you can come tomorrow. Give me a call. Pass you to do you.
The wife will pass you. Then you drink.
One day one.
You drink like normal water. Normal water like that. Yeah.
It's Chinese herb. Chinese herb.
It's to boost your immunity and your mom.
You also can take.
Okay. Yeah, I have to take also because I also like her, but then my symptom not as bad as her. I didn't take my vaccination yet, you know. But yeah, I have it already, funny.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mrs. Steele.
Then the other thing also, because I was told by my daughter, he also told me there's another person who took the vaccine, also fever for a few days. So it seems quite a lot of people, you can check with Sui An, they have this side effect and all that. But for me and my wife, and also I think Christy's parent, we seems to be quite normal. But Christy's parent, the father, I think tired, sleep. Of course, hungry like me, good appetite. So he didn't have much side effect. But he the father like need to rest, tired. So he rested. And apart from that, nothing major. It's because we found out we took this Dr. Jayanta's what we call the antidote for all the vaccine symptoms. So before the vaccination day, we take one. Then vaccination day, we take one. Then after that, take one. That's why we don't have any problem. According to Jawan Jayanta, he's very good. He said these vaccines are very strong, very strong. And especially elderly people, if you don't have all this to help you, it may develop some side effect and all this thing. So it seems based on what we went through and heard, it looks like those who take what he has given us, it helps. And really, really, we don't have, for me, I didn't even feel tired. I went through like normal. Then I got good appetite. Good appetite. I feel hungry. My wife also okay already. Both of us. We also had our jab on the 17th. Today is the 5th or 6th day already. 5th day. So,
my mom.
For your mom's case, need to spare the medicine, spare. Because just in case, confirm they call you positive, or then start taking. Because that one is very useful. Then the precaution one, no need to wait. That one you can just take because that one is for immunity. So tomorrow you drop by, my wife may give you both, I think. The blue color one is from Padmasuri actually. She offered it to us. So since we don't need it, we can pass it to you and you can spare. Because that one is a big box. His one is big box, double the normal size of the capacity. But
maybe I don't take that one first, Radio. Since I think Sui also haven't vaccinated yet. Right?
No. Sui, no problem. I got a lot. He gave me a lot. He passed me a lot. Don't worry. So you just have it first.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else? So you have to take care of your parents. You better have an rest also. Then have faith, then everything will be okay. Then on behalf of your mom, radiate love, metta, and wish her well-being and happiness.
Thank you.
Radiate love and metta to all your Dharma protector devas around your area. So then ask them to maybe give your mother the metta blessing and whatever good wishes. So we will also help to raise it for your mom.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, sadhu.